to Genesis 27 with Genesis 27. Scriptures, Ephesians 5 said that Christ gave himself a sacrifice, sweet smelling savor to God for us, for a sinner. And that really struck me and made me think of this story. The life, the person, the work of Jesus Christ is sweet smelling to God. He's altogether lovely. That's what God said of his Son. And he's altogether lovely to his bride. Sweet smelling savor. Sweet smelling savor. When you think of savor, and this is a scriptural term, we don't use it much anymore. It says sweet smelling savor. It involves smell and taste, doesn't it? Smell of something. If you're living, if you're alive, and you're hungry, when you get a whiff of something, it makes you want to eat it, doesn't it? It becomes a sweet smelling, and then you eat it, and it's savory meat, such as you love. And that's the gospel. That's Christ to God's people. When you're dead, you don't have these things. You have no hunger, you have no life, you have no sense of need for Christ. The gospel is nothing to you. Ironically, when the Lord sent that plague four years ago, you know what one of the first signs that you had it was? You'd lose your sense of smell and taste. And man has a plague called sin. And there's nothing about God's Word. There's nothing about Christ. It's sweet smelling or savory to him at all. He has no life. He has no hunger, no thirst. And I could preach the best message ever was about Christ. It meant nothing to him. That was me. But God, when you're born again, he gives you these five senses. Sight, hearing, touch, feeling, smell, taste. Gospel becomes a sweet smelling savor of what? Of Christ. And I mentioned Genesis 27. We read it. Saw some of you just smiling. I looked up as I was reading it. Some of you just, you understood what you were reading. That's the smell, all right? Now let's taste this. May the Lord give us the savory meat. The Lord bless us. Four people in this story, they represent God the Father, that's Isaac. God the Son, it's Esau. That's right, that's what I said. Stay with me now. You know that everything bears witness to Christ, don't you? I'm not straining this at all. There is no reason for this story to be in the Bible except Christ crucified. There's no earthly logical reason why this happened except to show us Jesus Christ and him crucified and how we're accepted by God. Right? I don't think Jacob understood what happened until later when the Lord wrestled him to the ground and then said, "Do you remember?" Back in chapter 27. So, Isaac represents God the Father. Esau is the firstborn. He represents God the Son, Christ. Rebekah represents God the Holy Spirit that taught the younger son about the elder. And Jacob is you and me and every sinner. Okay? Look at verses 1 through 5. It says Isaac was old. His eyes were dim. He said, "My son, here am I." Verse 2. "Behold, I am old." Verse 3. "Take thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow. Go out to the field and take me some venison. Make me savory meat, such as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah was there, and she heard this when the father spoke to the eldest son about this. Before the world began, God made a purpose to save a people. Are you with me? Before the world, you've got to pay attention, or you'll be lost. That's a fact. You got to hear and your soul will live. You'll be blessed. Eat this savory meat. God made a purpose before the world began to save sinners. This was long before Jacob and Esau, you and I were born. Before they'd done any good or evil. The purpose of God, according to the election, might stand. God said that. I'm going to save sinners. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit made this covenant, this purpose. And God said to the Son, listen to it, like he said to Esau, the father, take your weapons and go and get this meat for me that I love. Listen to this. In Isaiah 59, this happened before the world began. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. He saw there's no man. So he came to do this work of salvation by himself, Christ. God, Christ is the weapon, isn't it? He's the sword of God's Spirit. All right? Rebecca was there. She heard this. The Holy Spirit of God was in this covenant also. God the Father said to the Son, you go to earth and you do this work for my people. You save them. You defeat their foe. You're the weapon. You're going to destroy him by the sword of your mouth. You're going to save my people that by your death on Calvary's tree, crush the serpent's head and bring in this everlasting righteousness, and my people will be blessed by you. The Holy Spirit was there, and God the Father said to the Holy Spirit, you're going to take the things of Christ. You're going to take this gospel of Christ and show them and reveal them and tell them to every one of my sinful sons and daughters, these sons of Jacob. You're going to tell them all what Christ did and how they're blessed and accepted in the beloved. That's the story. Have you ever heard anything like this in your life? No, you didn't before you came. That's the story. That's the story in a nutshell. All right, now look at verse 6. Here it is. So Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, and said, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison, make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Rebekah heard this and spoke to Jacob. She spoke to Jacob. Jacob had to hear this. Faith cometh by hearing. What must we hear to be saved? The gospel of Christ. We must hear Christ and Him crucified. We must hear what Christ has done to make us accepted by the Father. We must hear that. We say that a lot, don't we? We try every time we stand up to say something about Christ crucified. Why? That's the heart and soul, the essence of the gospel. That's Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. People can't come to God but one way. We keep telling that over and over again. So we'll not be blessed except through Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and that hearing is the gospel of Christ. How shall they hear without a preacher? This mother told her son, but the Holy Spirit, through preaching, tells all of God's sons the story, the gospel of Christ and crucified. They hear it. So verse 8, she said, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. What is the obedience that God requires of His people? What is the obedience that God accepts from His people? What is it that God says that if you do this, I'll accept you? Faith. The obedience of the faith. In other words, what we believe is not anything we've done, but what Christ did. Jacob heard her. And he thought, I'm going to be found out. He can see right through me. No, son. I'm getting ahead of myself. Well, let's go on down here. Okay. And she said, go to the flock now and fetch me 2 kids of the goats. And did you notice all through here, she said, I will make them safe for me. Not, Jacob, here, you take this and fix it up however you want to and hope the Father accepts it. No. It's got to be prepared perfectly, doesn't it, John? It's got to be exactly like the Father requires. Jacob didn't have a hand. He didn't touch this sacrifice. He didn't help his mother cook it up. She did it. No, Sister Helen, no man could have possibly written this book. That's not possible. It's too complex. It's too amazing. It's too wonderful. It's too wide. It speaks too much of Christ. It's just Him. So you go fetch these 2 kids of goats. Why 2 goats? Why 2 goats? Because over in Leviticus 19, I believe it is, 16. Leviticus 16 is the story of the sacrifice of 2 goats. God said you take 2 goats. And it talks about putting raiment on the high priest and his sons. But he said take 2 goats. One goat's got to die and the other goat's a scapegoat. One's got to live. One's got to die, shed its blood as a sacrifice for sin. The other goat lives, and a fit man's going to take him far away so that he'll never come back and separate that goat as far as the east is from the west. What's that? What are these 2 goats? It's one. It's Christ. Where did Rebecca come up with 2 goats? Scripture. God said, write this. 2 goats. And I will make them savory meat such as thy father loved. You know, the Lord is well pleased for Christ's righteousness. And we cannot come to God. Without faith in Christ, it's impossible to please God. And so she said, you go get these goats and you bring them to me and I'll prepare them. And I'll bring them to the Father that he may eat, verse 10, and he'll bless thee before his death. And here's what Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother. Verse 11. Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. He's a man. I'm a mama's boy. I'm no man at all. Smooth man, dwelling in tents. Esau's out in the field providing things for the family. Not Jacob. He's just nothing but a supplanter. He's a con artist. He's no good. Read on. My father will feel me. He'll touch me. He'll lay hold of me. He'll see right through me. I'll be a deceiver. I'll bring a curse on me, not a blessing. I'm nothing like my brother. You know, Isaac loved Esau. Rebecca loved Jacob. But Isaac loved Esau because of what he did for him. Savory meat. Everything was about what he did for the Father. It was savory. His blood. He said the smell of Isaac, Esau to his father was like a smell of the field. He's out there providing the family, Esau. Now, Esau was not a good man. God hated him. And no prophecy, no type is perfect, right? That's why there's so many of them. But to the Father, Esau was very pleasing. Right. And to God the Father, there's one man that has ever lived is altogether lovely and pleasing to Him. And that's Christ. Why?
Because He came to this field to do what He did for sinners and for the Father's glory. That's why. It's just that savoring it.
So, But Jacob said, I'm nothing like him. Father's going to see right through me, and he's going to curse me. He's not going to bless me. I have no way I could come to the Father. He loves the elder son, not me. Oh, yeah. Now, here's what Rebekah said. Look at verse 13. Upon me be thy curse, son. Obey my voice. If the Father doesn't accept you, I'm telling you the truth. If the Father doesn't receive you, I'll take the curse. Isn't that what Christ did? Made a curse for us? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit tells us? Oh, I can't come to God. I'm too much a sinner. Well, don't come to God if you're not. You can't come near to Him if you're not. You don't need Christ if you're not. But I'm nothing like Christ. No, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to make you like Christ. I'm going to give you what the Father demands, what the Father loves. I'm going to teach you what the Father loves and accepts. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to dress you. I'm going to make you just like the Son. Trust me. Believe me. Just believe, that's it. Nothing I do. Nope. Just believe me. You believe. You come to the Father by Christ. If He doesn't accept you, I'll take the blame. Man, this is savory meat to me. I hope somebody's eating it with me. I think they are. I'm just a sinner, Lord. I can't come to God. Well, you better not come any other way. And if you're a sinner, I'm trying to tell you what God says, how He says to come to Him, and you will be blessed. All right, verse 14. So he went and fetched. He laid hold of those two goats. John, he went at, where were they? They were in a pen, prepared. Ready, waiting, like that ram up on the mountain caught in a thicket by its horns, a crown of thorns around the head of that ram, waiting to be sacrificed, waiting for the Isaac to come up and substitution. Those two goats right there waiting. And he laid hold of them. This is his hope, this is his blessing. All right? And he brought them to the mother. We come to God by faith, don't we? God the Holy Spirit. And his mother, see who did this? She made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah, look at this, verse 15. So Rebekah took those goats, and she killed them, and took the skins of one, the meat, and made savory meat. And she took the skin or the raiment of her eldest son Esau, which was with her. It was hers to bestow, the raiment. And she put them on Jacob. She didn't ask Jacob, do you like this? Let's see if this fits you. Here, put this on. Will you have this, Jacob? I hope you accept it. When the prodigal son came home, the father was waiting on him. How did the father know he was coming? For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified by blood. Whom he justified, he glorified, covered in righteousness. You ever thought of all that and that's it? And the father was waiting. There he comes. I was standing at that window a while ago. I love these windows, clear windows now. I hate shades on windows. Wish we could open those up, but the neighbor mows his grass and all that. But I love this. I stand there and I watch you coming. I love that. I love it. Look, there comes Kate. Look, there comes Ron and Tammy. Well, they're usually here before I am. Look, there comes Mike and Karen. There's Kate. You know what I was thinking? There's nothing I'd love more than stand there at that window like a father like the Father did, waiting to be gracious, and say, look.
Look who's coming. It's the prodigal daughter. Look. Would you look at that?
There's nothing to give me more pleasure. You know what I could say? Bring the best robe. That's what the Father said. Bring the robe. He's home. He's home. Put it on him. We don't preach a gospel that's an offer. We preach a gospel that Christ offered to the Father. That when God, they're born of God, born of this gospel of the offering of Christ, this is what the Spirit of God says. Put it on him. Don't offer it to him. Cover him. If there was an offer, do you like this? Yes. Adam and Eve, you cold, you hungry? Yes. You got anything to cover? These fig leaves didn't do it. I do. Cover them up. And then he made a promise. Come this way. God bless you. You keep coming. Keep coming. You're still a sinner. Still broke all those laws, but keep coming. That's what I'm saying. Put it on him. I love that. That ought to be the title of this message. Put it on him. But the skins, look at verse 16. She put skins of the kids of goat on his hands, on the smooth of his neck. Why his hands? Watch. The Father, when he came, the Father, the first thing he did was he smelled him and he grabbed his hands. Why? Who shall ascend unto the holy hill of the Lord? Psalm 24. He that hath clean hands. When Christ died, you know what the first thing he showed his disciples? What's the first thing he showed them? Behold my hands. His hands performed the work of salvation. I'm looking for scars. John and I are looking for scars up in heaven. Where are they? In his hands. This is what God accepts. Your hands, sinful. Dirty hand. His hands, clean. Clean hand. Pure heart. What about his neck? Huh? Christ, the weight of our sins was laid on him.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Where does a yoke go? On your neck.
And Christ was yoked to the law, by the law, to love, and to us. And he puts this yoke on us. And he puts his righteousness on us. And his works are our works. And his yoke is our yoke. His burden is our burden. His cross. Put it on his neck. And the Father fell on the Son. What did he fall on?
His neck.
And kissed him. And she gave, verse 17, a savory meat and bread which she had prepared in the hand of her son Jacob. How do we come to the Father? We come by faith in Christ. One way. And this faith to those who have obtained like precious faith. I never forget hearing Brother Bruce preach on that. Those who have obtained like precious faith. And he made this wonderful point. He said, this faith God gave me. It's God-given faith. He gave it to me. We can't share each other's faith. You must believe. You must believe. Right? You must believe. My parents can't believe for me. You must believe. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Okay? And God has to give you this faith. You didn't work it up. You didn't decide it. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Once God gives it to you, it's yours, isn't it? And Brother Bruce brought this point out. He said, you can't have my faith. I won't give it up for anything. It's my faith. It's not something I did, but it's something he gave me, precious. more precious than gold that's tried with fire. It's going to be found. This is our acceptance with God, the faith that He gives us. And religion and the world trying to take it from you. The world is trying to take it from you. Don't walk by faith. Walk by sight. No. No, you can have that. This is my hope with God. We're all going to die real soon. My only hope is Jesus Christ. You can have this perishing world. I don't want to perish with it. This is a faith God's given me. I won't want to trade it for nothing. Hope. So she said, you take this savory meat. You take these skins I put on you, on your neck. You go to the Father. Go. Go. He'll have you. And he came. Verse 18. He came. Come unto me, God said. He came unto his Father and said, my Father. Oh, my God. As I said Wednesday, do not ever say that unless you mean it or you're taking his name in vain. The Lord's Prayer, the whole so-called Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer. He said, after this manner pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. The whole world prays that when something bad happened. It's taking his name in vain. He's not everybody's Father. They draw near with their lips and their hearts sparkle. But God's people know. God's people all know that God is only our Father because of Jesus Christ. That we have received the spirit of adoption by Jesus Christ. We are sons of Satan by birth. We must be born again by his Spirit. We must be given the spirit of adoption. We must be chosen, accepted in the Beloved. There's nothing lovable about us. We're just rotten, no good sons of Adam. How are we the sons of God? One way, Jesus Christ. This is what the mother is teaching this youngest son. You're not going to be blessed. It belongs to the oldest son. You don't deserve this. The right belongs to the eldest, only well-beloved son. Not you. You're a supplanter. You're a cheat. That's your name. You came out of the womb trying to usurp your brother. No, you're only going to be accepted through your elder brother. And he came. And he called him my Father. And here's what the Father said. Oh, he said, my Father. And the Father said, here am I. Who art thou? My son. Who are you? And Jacob said unto his father, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as you bade me. Arise, I pray thee, sit, rest, eat of my venison, and bless me. I am your son, Esau. I have done what you required of me. Somebody laugh with me. John. What's he saying? He's pleading his brother. Christ is the I am. And we're not, you know what he's saying. We come to God, what we do is plead that Christ is the I am. That Christ is the one that did this. That Christ did everything required. This is faith. That we are him. That what he did for us. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he arose, I rose. When he rested, I rested. When God blessed him and sat him in his right hand, I was blessed. I'm seated with him in the heaven. Who are you? I'm your son. That's who I am. I'm your son. In Christ. Christ in you is the hope of God. And Isaac said unto him, I love this, verse 20. How is it you found this so quickly? He said, the Lord God brought it to me. So where did you get this savory meat so quickly? How did you get this savory meat? God gave it to me. Where'd you get this salvation? Huh? How'd you get to know God? How'd you understand God? How did you come to God? How did you learn the truth? How did you, John, did you make your decision? Did you let go and let God? Did you let Jesus into your heart? Did you, of your will, choose him and make him Lord of your... That's so blasphemous. Where'd you get this? Where'd you get this gospel? Where'd you get this? All that. Here's what... Salvation's by grace. Salvation of the Lord. Where did I get it? God brought it to me. God was made a man and brought it to me. Unspeakable. Maybe that should be the title. God brought it to me. God put it on me. So Isaac said to Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether you're my very son Esau or not. Come near. Draw nigh unto God. Remember that? Do you think Jacob is trembling? Do you? Do you think he's afraid? I'm bad enough, but if he sees through me, if he sees I'm Jacob, I'm a goner. He's trembling. How do you come to God? Fear. How do you come to God? In humility. How do you come to God? By Christ. By Christ. So he came. He came near, draw nigh unto God. And here's what the father said in verse 22. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. You know whose voice is crying unto God? It's mine. It's yours. Have mercy on me, O God. That's it. Have mercy on me. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's right. Call sinner, but call through Christ. And call and plead the works of Christ. Don't plead your work. Father, don't be like the publican. I mean, the Pharisee. I've done what you... I prayed, I've tithed, I've done all these... No. Plead Christ's works. We call upon God, but we call upon him to accept us because of the hands and the works of Jesus Christ. He said, it's the voice of Jacob. It's the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not. All things are naked and open for the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know that? Be sure your sin will find you out. Yes, it will. What sin? If God should mark iniquity, who shall stand? There's forgiveness for thee. How? Your sin will be find you out. You know where that's written? It's Joshua said that. And it's a sin of unbelief is what it is. Now listen, this is so important here. He discerned him not. His hands were hairy as his brother's Esau, so he blessed him. And he said, verse 24, are you really my son Esau? Are you really? Art thou my very son Esau? Said, I am. You know, Christ said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sin. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe what? That he is. Who is? God is holy and just. Who is? That Christ is God. Is what? All your hope, all your salvation, all your righteousness, all your acceptance with God, all your holiness. Without that faith, it's impossible to please God. He'll find you out. He'll find you out. Do you really believe? Do you really believe that Christ is all your hope? Do you? I do. Married. And he discerned him not. Bring it near. Verse 25, I'll eat of my son's venison that my soul may bless thee. He brought it near. He ate and he brought him wine. Meat and wine. Did not Christ say, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life. My meat is drink indeed. Or, my body is meat indeed and my blood is drink indeed. That's what the father required. And his father Esau said, Isaac said, verse 26, come near now. He kept telling him to come, didn't he? He kept telling him to come. Come near. Jacob's trembling. He's going to find me out. No, come here. Jacob, why? Son, why are you being so far? Come here. Come near. Finally he came up and his father kissed him. Verse 27. Told him to kiss him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment. And he blessed him and said, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave those parables in Matthew 13 of the field. Two or three parables of the field. This field is a world. And Christ came in here to bless some people in this field. Like Ruth, her hap was to land on a part of the field that belonged to Boaz. And she found grace in his sight. And he came near to her and blessed her and gave her some of his cornbread and gave all those promises. And he told her, you come up here. Don't go anywhere. You come up close. You come here. You sit down right here. My man. They ended up marrying her. Come near. Smell. Sweet smelling savor. And he promised him, verse 28, the Lord give thee of the dew of the heaven, the fatness of the earth. You know, he's given us fat things and wine on the leaves, well refined, hadn't he? Plenty of corn, that's bread, and plenty of wine, that's plenty of gospel. Let the people serve thee. Fear not, Jacob, I've given Ethiopia and Seba for thee, for thy ransom. They're going to serve you. You're in the world, not of it, but the world's going to serve. It exists. It still exists for you. Just like the world exists for the glory of Jesus Christ somehow, and all will bow down to him in Christ. The whole world exists for God's people. And he said in verse 29, cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. We're blessed in Christ. And I love this, and I close. Esau came and was upset. He heard about what happened. And he said to his father, he said, he's taken away my birthright. He's a supplanter. He said in verse 34, oh, my father, bless me also. Oh, my father.
When Christ was hanging on Calvary's tree, what were the first words that he cried? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. And then he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ became a curse. Christ was made a curse that we might be blessed. Christ was forsaken of God. You understand? That's the best thing. And here's what the father said about Jacob. He said, I blessed him, and he'll be blessed. I can't take it back.
I blessed him, and he'll be blessed. How? How was Jacob blessed? Through the son. Through Esau. And everyone that comes nigh unto God by Christ will be blessed. He shall be blessed. Our Lord said that. He said, everyone that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You'll be dead. Come to Christ. Okay. John, you come. Lead us.